Our readings this morning, 1 Samuel 17, verses 4 to 11 and 30 to 50. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. His height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armour of bronze, weighing 5,000 shekels. On his leg he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. His shield bearer went ahead of him. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I have overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around, because he was not used to them. "I cannot go in these," he said to Saul, "because I am not used to them." So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch on his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was a little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I will give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals." David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by the sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag, he took out a stone. He slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. Second reading is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. Salt and light. "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." And may God add his blessings to these words from the Holy Book. Amen.
Abby's found my visual aid. It's not a racket, it's a launcher. Or a ball whanger. You know what you use this for? You've all seen these. You throw these for your dog. Well, you just throw the ball. You hang on to that bit and you throw the ball. And you hope that your dog brings it back. And when the dog brings it back, then if it lets have it again, which is not certain with Juma, you put it in there again and you throw it again. And you throw it again. And you throw it again and again and again and again and again. Because dogs don't get that weary about playing with a ball. The trouble is, sometimes I'm not such a good thrower. I wouldn't do that in here. But sometimes the ball either bounces badly and ends in a field, up a tree, in the gorse bushes, in a river that's gone miles away, and you lose the ball, and you think, well, that's the game finished. However, when I go walking with Juma, I always take a spare. And that time when I go walking with Juma, I always take two spares. Because, not because Juma's bad at collecting balls, but because I'm not always that good at throwing them. And sometimes I just miss. Sometimes it goes off key, sometimes it bounces wrong, just lose the ball, and therefore you need a spare. What's that got to do with church or General Assembly or anything else that we're doing here? It's because sometimes we take out our faith and we launch our faith into the world and nothing happens, or we lose it, or it bounces awkwardly, or it lands flat and we can't find it again. And sometimes we throw out projects from the church, and sometimes we try things in the church that don't quite hit the mark, don't quite go the direction we wanted, don't come back to us and say, well done. They kind of land and finish and stay where they are. And we get disillusioned. And we think, well, we've tried it, we're not doing it again. But the point is that we can try it again. And we can try it again after that. And we can try it again after that. And we can try it as many times and as many times as we possibly want to, as long as one thing happens, that we keep hold of the launcher. Once we put that down, that's it, game over. But once we hold on to this and hold on to this and keep trying and trying, then there's an opportunity and a chance that sometime we might just succeed. We might get the right direction, the right plan, the right project, the right people at the right time. But we've got to wander around sometimes and hope that we get there. And if you hang on to the launcher, if you hang on to God, then we keep trying. Now, I know it's easy to get disillusioned and to get down. I know it's quite easy to think that nothing's happening because everything's kind of flat. I know it's easy to let our heads go down because we're so busy and so stressed doing so many other things. I know all of that. It happens to all of us. But I also know that as long as I have hold of the gospel and as long as I know that God has hold of me, then I can keep trying and trying and trying. It doesn't matter how off beam I bounce or how wrong I get it or how wrong it seems at the time. We keep trying and trying. The story of David and Goliath is well, well known. And you've only got portions of it because I thought we might not have time for all of it today. But you'll know that David, the little boy, went up against this huge giant. One little person against the biggest problem the Israelites had seen in a long, long time. No one else dared go, but David went. But he didn't go on his own. Saul tried to put his armor on him, tried to give him all the things that he thought he would need. But it didn't work for David. And sometimes I feel the church is being put upon and being given all those resources and all those things from the world to use to work. Business strategies, office strategies, big things that we can do to stamp our feet and make ourselves noticed and say we are the best. And sometimes we get taken in by these and we can have the nice plush stuff. We can have all the words in there that make sense, make lots of sense, but take us nowhere. Business speak, because the church is not a business. We don't need all the armor of the world on us to go and tell people about Jesus. We simply need the gospel. We need what God has given us. We need what He has told us. We need what Christ has brought to us. We need what the Spirit fills us with. We need that encouragement and enthusiasm. And then we have all that we need to tackle those big problems that seem to be facing the church or us personally. The problems are there, but the solutions are also there. Now, David had a sling and a stone. Now, it wasn't just that he arrived at that army camp and was given a spear and said, use that. He'd never used a spear in his life. It wasn't that he was given a gun and said, use that. He went and he took his sling and he found the stones in the riverbed and he went and he used what he knew he could use. He knew what he had practiced with. He knew what he could hit. He knew the targets. He knew the technique. And he went there not with a ball launcher and a tennis ball, but with a sling and a stone ready to face the battle. And of course, we know the story that that first stone felled Goliath. And he went and cut his head off just to make sure. And of course, we know that even when we have the resources that God gives to us and we try it that once, you know, it doesn't always work. Because we're not David. It doesn't always work first time. Sometimes we've got to regroup and try again. But did you notice in the reading what it said about David when he went to collect what he needed for this battle? He had his sling. He went to the river and he picked up 5 stones. 5. With the first one, he felled Goliath. But he had 4 left just in case. He didn't assume it was all going to be over in one throw. He didn't assume everything was going to happen, that he would be on target first time. He was willing to try and try again and use what he had again and again and again with God on his side. So it's not for us to get disillusioned and think, well, we've tried that and it didn't work. It's not for us to get disillusioned and say, we've been beaten at that, we're not going to do it again. It's not for us to think that challenge is still there, the problem is still in front of us, therefore we'll just step back and not do it again. It's for us to say, no, we keep stepping forward. We keep going that one step at a time because God calls us to do this. And the challenges out there against faith, well, are there huge challenges out there against faith, or is it that we've just not stepped forward? Discuss. Are there lots of people saying that we cannot have faith and that we shouldn't be doing this? Or is it just our perception of saying, no, it's easier if we say that because it gives us an excuse? Discuss. Is it a case of saying, well, we come to church once a week, we come on a Sunday morning and that's our time with God, and the rest of the time, well, the world can have its way? Discuss. Or is our faith there for us all the time? And it's not that we've just picked up one opportunity to nail this. It's that we've picked up our God, we've picked up Jesus Christ, we've picked up the Holy Spirit, or rather, he's picked us up. And he says, I'm going to be with you every step of this way, and we're going to do this. We're going to make this work. Now, whether or not the Church of Scotland is going to still be here in 50, 100 years' time, I've got no idea. But I know the church will be. Are we going to have faith in a Church of Scotland in this scenario in 20 years, 30 years? I don't know. But I know the Christian faith is going to survive and it's going to grow. It's already growing around the world. And if we begin to look at the stones that we have in our pockets, if we begin to look at the gifts that God has given us to use, then perhaps if we use them instead of using worldly things, then perhaps we will see movement and growth in our own church, in our own area, in our own region, in our own nation. And perhaps once again, we will hold our heads up high. Because it is so easy, because so many people talk about decline. I can talk about decline if you want. In 5 years' time, it is viewed that in our presbytery of 24 charges, there will be maybe 8 to 10 parish ministers. So there won't be ministers for every parish. There's not at the moment, to be honest with you. There's hundreds vacant and have been for years because there's not enough ministers to go around. So we can just go and follow that line of decline and say, the last minister, please put all the lights out. Or we can say, well, let's get a new model. Let's see where we're going from this. First century Palestinian church. It wasn't built on buildings. It wasn't about pews or chairs. It wasn't about what songs we sing. It wasn't about how we meet or where we meet or when we meet. It wasn't at 10:30 on a Sunday morning or 11. It wasn't about any of these things. It was about people gathering in groups, house groups, Bible studies, prayer groups. But people gathering together, also in the temple to worship week by week. But this is a new regime that we have, partly because of our climate, to be fair. And it's good to have. But we're not going to be able to have all our buildings. And we can sit here in a modern-ish building and think, well, we're okay. But not necessarily so. Let's put everything together and let's work out what we are doing. Are we custodians of historical buildings? Are we historians of our traditions of a couple of hundred years, because that's all they are? No more than that. Or are we going to go back and say, let's be back to a first century Palestinian church? That's not going to work for us either. And as we heard a Bible study this week, we can't go backwards. We're not built to go backwards. There is no reverse gear in our faith. There's only forward. So let's go forward. And let's be determined. And let's be encouraged. And let's be enthusiastic. And let's be confident in what we have got to be salt and light for the world. Not for them to be salt and light to us, but for us to go and tell them what we've got. To tell them that we care. To tell them that we want justice for all people. Tell them we're not just about ourselves, but about the world. Local, regional, national, global. And that's why we want divestment. No, we're not suffering very much from climate change here. It might be a bit wetter or warmer or colder or whatever. But we've not lost our livelihoods. We've not lost our homes. We've not lost our countries. We're safe. We're not at war. We don't have bombs landing on our shores or our roofs or our churches. We don't have gunmen coming in. But there are places who do. And there are people who do. And they do not deserve it any more than we do. Any more than anyone does. And we've got to look to them. And that might be about nuclear armament. It might be about pacifism. It might be about all sorts of things. It might just be about justice of trade and how we make our money and where we do invest, not just fossil fuels, but other things that we invest in. And this is not just about a national church and what they do in 121 George Street in our national offices. This is about what we do in our own homes, in our own church, in our own lives. So yes, General Assembly fires me up. It does, because it tells me that there's a world out there that needs us to stand tall. But it also tells me that there are individuals, as in Crossreach, individuals who are suffering in our own communities that we are also called to help. Individuals who are challenged with mental illness, with addiction, with abuse, with all sorts of things that we need to be involved in. Through the gospel, through our faith, through Jesus Christ, through the encouragement of the Holy Spirit, through knowing that God, as creator of all, isn't just simply going to be here this afternoon to bless a few pets, but wants to bless the world with fairness and equality and dignity. So maybe next year we should all go to the General Assembly. Maybe next year we should all get public passes and go in there and listen to the debates. But maybe within that year, Council Assembly have been told to go back and come back with a very radical plan next year's General Assembly. I think by that time, General Assembly will have a very radical plan to put to them. And I hope and pray that as Kirk Sessions who have been instructed and presbyteries who have been instructed to do things about buildings and about how we work and about how we function will go back and say, we've started, where are you? We're leading this from the ground, where are you? Because perhaps Jesus is asking at the moment, where are you? Where are you in this journey with me? Are you by my side? Are you still thinking about it? Are you pondering? Or are you hoping that it will all just do you out? It will be fine for my life. Isabel said that our church will be in good hands with our youngsters coming through. It's not good enough for our youngsters to look to that. They need to know the church is in good hands now with us, all generations. We need to stand up for them, with them. Intergenerational? Absolutely. Not for them, but with them. And them doing it not for us, but with us. And then we can launch the gospel time and time again. See where it lands. See who it hits. See where it bounces. And see who comes back with it saying, I found this, can you tell me more?